Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. It's another beautiful day. I know it's a little chilly out there, but that's okay because we have this wonderful warm building. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing some songs and worship God for a while, and we're going to study His Word. But before we do anything, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking, O God, that Thy perfect will be done here today. Asking, O God, that Thou wouldst be with us as we worship Thee, as we give Thee our hearts. Move upon us, we pray, with Thy Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let Thy Spirit be upon each and every one of us. Give us the ability to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth, for we know that Thou seekest such to worship Thee. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst abide over this entire service. Let Thy perfect will be done, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 43 in the hymnal this morning. Count your blessings. What the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Praise the Lord.
Well, glory to God. Last Sunday, we had a time of singing after we had our little dinner, and you know, we sang a lot, actually. I think we sang for about 140 minutes, and I didn't have a voice anymore after that, but there was one request we had that we didn't quite get around to, so we're going to do that one today. Number 112, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow.
My hand.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we don't know everything about the future, but we know the one who does, the one who holds tomorrow. Praise the Lord, and that is a God that does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. Why don't we go to number 290 in the hymnal and sing that song right now? Yesterday, today, forever. Sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still He loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to His name. Yesterday, today, Jesus never, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name. He who was the friend of sinners, seek the lost one now. Sinner, come and at His footstool penitently bow. He who said, I'll not condemn thee, go and sin no more, speaks to thee that word of pardon as in days of yore. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name. Oft on earth He healed the sufferer by His mighty hand. Still our sicknesses and sorrows go at His command. He who gave His healing virtue to a woman's touch, to the faith that claims His fullness, still will give as much. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name. As of old He walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's way He walketh ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold Him, hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as He went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know that song is still a little new to us. We actually had been singing that chorus for years. It's in the chorus book, but one day I discovered, hey, they have the whole song in this book. So we tried it last Sunday for the first time, and praise the Lord, I do like it. Glory to God. And it is a wonderful thing to glorify the name of the Lord, the one who doesn't change. Why don't we go to number 107 and sing Glory to His Name. Where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name. Was the blood applied? Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Was the blood applied? Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory. Savior's feet, plunge into day and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. A wonderful thing to glorify the name that is above every name. Praise the Lord. I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Chuck, could I get you to do that for us, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here this day, and we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy many abundant blessings, the ways that Thou hast kept us for so many years. For we know it is only by Thy sustaining power and by Thy mercy and grace that we are here today. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here today. We also pray that Thou hast blessed those who were unable to give. And I pray that Thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy cause of Thy kingdom. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song, but before we do that, I do have a prayer request here. And it's from Dion. It's for Gordon. I guess he is doing somewhat better. The pain has subsided, apparently. That's good news, wonderful news. But she sent me a message the other day, and she said, "Hi, Sam, my dad is doing better pain-wise, but has been having some dizzy spells due to low blood pressure. This weekend, he will be at Eagles Wings again for respite, Friday through Tuesday, and then he has eye surgery in about 2 weeks, so please keep him in prayer again." So we are going to pray for Gordon right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning for our dear brother Gordon, asking, O God, that Thou wast touch him from heaven. Give him complete healing, we pray. Heal everything that is wrong. We pray that Thou wast restore his blood pressure to normal, that he would stop having these dizzy spells. And we pray that if there be any pain left at all, we pray that Thou wast heal that. Give him the strength he needs to do the things he needs to do. And Lord, we pray, O God, that Thou wast give him the strength in so much that we can see him here again in this very building. We ask, O God, that Thou hast be with him and help him. Let him feel Thy comforting touch. Let him feel Thy healing virtues, we pray. And I ask, O God, that Thou wast guide the doctors through his eye surgery in the coming weeks. Let all go well and according to Thy perfect plan. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song. And if I remember correctly, it's number 46. Yes, number 46, I Will Praise Him.
Fire upon the altar.
It is such a wonderful thing to worship and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it is time to get in the Word this morning. We are going to be starting in Numbers chapter 22 to start off with. Numbers 22, we're going to be in Numbers for a little while. We're going to be looking at a story that happened to the children of Israel way back in the day. And I am titling this message this morning, He Hath Blessed. But before I read even one verse, I'm going to pray right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, praying, O God, that Thou be with us as we study Thy Word, as we open Thy Holy Scriptures before us. We pray, O God, that Thy Word would come alive in our hearts, that Thou wouldst come in and clean out anything that shouldn't be in our hearts, Lord, so that there is only room for Thee. We pray, O God, that Thou wouldst change us, perfect us, mold us, shape us, Lord. And I pray, O God, as we study Thy Word, that Thou wouldst refine us, Lord. And I pray, O God, that Thou wilt show us what we must do and make a difference in our lives, we pray, Lord. Give us the understanding we need as we study Thy Scriptures, for we know that it is only by Thy mercy and Thy grace that we can understand anything. And I pray that Thou wilt give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned, this message today is called He Hath Blessed. And of course, that's referring to God blessing His people. And it's a wonderful thing that God does bless His people. And we're going to learn something today that is of the utmost importance that we understand as Christians. And that is that if God blesses you, no one can take that blessing away from you. If anyone tries to curse you, they will not be successful because you have been blessed by God. And when God blesses you, you cannot be cursed. That's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? But we're going to see in this story that the children of Israel, who had been greatly blessed by God. Well, they were in enemy territory here. They were on their journey. And there was a king there. And he had seen how Israel had won some victories, how they were going through, how God was with them, and he was worried. This king, his name was Balak, and he was concerned. He thought, well, these people who came out of Egypt, these Israelites, they're very powerful, they're very strong. There's something about them. God must be with them. I need to put a curse on these people, or they're going to come in and they're going to destroy me too and my kingdom. So he was very concerned. And let's look at what happened here in the 22nd chapter of Numbers. And it tells us, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites." They had victory over the Amorites. And they were victorious everywhere they went because God was with them. Verse 3. "And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at this time." So this Balak character, he was a king, and he was greatly concerned because he didn't know what he was going to do. These Israelites, they were winning everywhere they went. Verse 5, "He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me." Now Balaam, he's an interesting character too. He was a prophet, but you know, there were things about him that obviously weren't right. And he obviously cared about riches and money and being compensated. In other words, he was, I guess you could say, a prophet for hire. But what's interesting about him is apparently God, yes, the one true God, the God of the Bible, did speak to this man. And as such, Balaam, he should have known better than to try to do what he would be asked to do here by Balak, this king. But we're going to see what happens. And verse 6 tells us, "Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." Well, really, blessings come from the Lord. There's no prophet you can hire to bless you. You know, a lot of people think, well, if I go and see this holy man and have him bless me, or if I go and see the Pope and have him bless me, then I will be blessed. But there is no man on this earth who can bless you. Only God can bless.
That's right.
So we see here, Balak was already a little confused. He thought that this Balaam fellow had the ability to bless people. But that wasn't the case. And he also thought that this man had the ability to curse people. But, you know, perhaps that had worked on the ungodly. Perhaps that had worked on those who do not have the protection of the Lord. But it was not going to work on God's people. Isn't it something here when you stop and think about what Balak is actually asking Balaam to do? He's asking Balaam to speak to the Lord and curse the Lord's people. Now that's just not very smart, is it? Verse 7 tells us, "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand." So we see here there's already a problem. The instruments, the rewards of divination, and so forth. "And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam." And we know that this is, when he's speaking of the Lord there, we know that that's God. the one true God, the real God. There are no other gods beside him. There's just one. And evidently, Balaam was acquainted with the Lord. And sometimes the Lord even spoke to him. But this man had problems. And we see here, he's telling these men, well, let me go in, stay the night, and I will go and commune with the Lord and see what he says. And what's the point, really? He should have known what God would say. God isn't going to tell him to curse his own people. Verse 9, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them, and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And you cannot curse what God has blessed. That is impossible. And that's good to know, too. I know we just had Halloween recently, and that's a day that scares a lot of people because of the witches and all of the things they're up to. You know, it's not just kids dressing up in costumes and going trick-or-treating and costume parties and all that. There are horrible things going on performed by those witches. But you know what? We don't have to be afraid of that if we are truly God's people, because if we are God's people, we have been blessed, and anything they might try to do, any hexes or vexes or curses or whatever the case may be, is going to come back on them, because you cannot curse what God has blessed. So we don't need to be afraid of that. I know some people on Halloween, they're terrified, but there's no need. We have the Lord on our side. But God is telling Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. So at the first, Balaam, he refused. He's saying, God has told me I can't go and curse these people. So those men went back and they reported to Balak, and Balak sent other guys to try and convince Balaam, try and persuade him to come and curse Israel. Verse 16. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. So he understood that. He knew there was nothing he could do. If he went there to speak, he would have to speak the words that God gave him. Verse 19, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. That's really something here. You have Balaam again going to the Lord, asking something. And God again will tell him no. He's telling him, okay, you can go, but you're just going to have to speak the words that I give you. And we're going to see that those words that he gave Balaam are not the words that Balak wanted to hear. But this kind of reminds me of some people who they'll pray for something because they desperately want it, and God will say no, and they'll just keep going back and praying for it, and God says no again, and they keep praying. You know, if God says no, you're not going to get it. That's just the way it is. Verse 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. So, even though God had given him permission to go with these men. It still irritated and angered the Lord that he indeed went with these men. Most likely because he could see the intent of his heart and probably realized that Balak intended to curse the children of Israel. Balaam intended to curse the children of Israel at the behest of Balak. But we're going to see here that that did not happen. But verse 21 tells us, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him." You know, people sometimes, God will put obstacles in their way and they'll just try to get around them. They can't even see those obstacles from the Lord sometimes. Sometimes God, in his mercy and grace, will put obstacles in our way so that we can't do certain things that we're not supposed to do. But what's really interesting here is there was this angel of the Lord standing there, and Balaam couldn't see this angel. His servants, his two servants that were with him, they couldn't see this angel. But the donkey could. And you know, I think that's the way it is sometimes. The animals, they do commune with the Lord. I believe that. I know our parrot professor, he likes to praise and worship the Lord too. And I believe that God speaks to that little bird. And we know, you know, it's just so amazing here. These men, they couldn't see the angel. And Balaam, he was a prophet, so he should have been able to, but he couldn't see the angel of the Lord. But the donkey, he saw the angel right away. Verse 23, "And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way." So, this donkey could see that angel of the Lord right there, sword drawn. And he knew, or I guess I should say she, I believe this donkey was a female. And she knew that Balaam was in imminent danger. That angel was there with the sword drawn. And you never, you know, it's wonderful to be in the presence of angels, but you never want to be in the presence of an angel who has his sword drawn. Because that's not good. Verse 24, "But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side, and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against unto the wall, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further, and stood at a narrow place, where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left." So they get to a narrow place and there's nowhere to turn. All you could do is go backwards or forwards. And obviously this donkey was not cooperating with Balaam. Verse 27 tells us, "And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff." So this angel, this donkey bowed down before the angel of the Lord. And of course, at that point, Balaam must have fallen off the donkey, and he was angry. He kept striking his donkey, and really, he should have just opened his eyes. Verse 28 tells us, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" So this was an amazing thing. God suddenly gave this donkey the ability to speak. You don't normally see that. I don't think that's happened ever again. That was probably the first and only time this ever happened. But what's really remarkable to me is the fact that Balaam just so casually answers this donkey. This donkey is speaking to him. And he says in verse 29, "And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." You know, he should have understood that this was a little unusual, but he just responded right away, speaking back to this donkey. Most people would stop and think and go, "Hey, this is a little strange. this donkey is speaking to me. That's not supposed to happen. Verse 30, the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. So, this donkey has more wisdom than Balaam. So this donkey is telling Balaam, you know, I've been with you a while now, and you've been riding on me ever since I was your ass. Have I ever done anything like this before? And of course he had to answer, nay. Verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Now he could finally see, and there was an angel there, sword drawn. So Balaam bowed down before that angel. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. That donkey saved Balaam's life. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And how often are there angels standing right there beside us, right there in front of us, and we don't even see them, we don't even know they're there. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So this angel tells him, okay, you can go, but you are only to speak the words of the Lord that I give you. Verse 36, and when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? And am I not able to indeed to promote thee to honor? So Balak, he's questioning Balaam, why didn't you just come the first time I summoned you? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam should have realized right there that things weren't going to go his way. But he was a little obtuse. He was a little dense. He lacked discernment for sure. Because he was asking that God would give this prophet Balaam the power to curse God's own people. And God is not going to do that. Verse 39, and Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up unto the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. And of course that was a problem too. You're not supposed to go up to the high places of Baal and offer sacrifices to God, because Baal is a false god. In fact, Baal is the devil. There's one real god, and then there's a bunch of false gods out there, and all of those false gods are actually the devil. He might disguise himself in some ways, but it's always the devil. There's only one god. Simple. And we're going to continue on in chapter 23. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. We see a lot of sevens, because 7 is the number of perfection in the Bible. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go, peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place. So Balaam, he went off, he's going to find out what God was going to say about all this. They offered their sacrifice, but you know what? God was not going to let Balaam curse his people. Verse 4, and God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, Return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. So here we have Balaam, the man who had been hired out to try and curse Israel. And this is the word that God gave him to speak to Balak. Verse 7, And he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. So, Balaam, he was hired to pronounce a curse upon Israel, but a curse did not come out of his mouth, did it? Instead, it was a blessing. And verse 11 tells us, And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And I can just imagine the look on Balak's face as Balaam started to speak and give him the word of the Lord that these people would be blessed, that they would dwell alone, that Balak would be defeated eventually, and the people around them. Verse 12, And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. As I mentioned before, Balak, he was a little dense, wasn't he? Now he's saying, well, let's go to a different place. Maybe you can curse them from there. That just doesn't make any sense, does it? So they went up to Mount Pisgah. It tells us in verse 14, And he brought him into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, Stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, Go again unto Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, What hath the Lord spoken? So maybe Balak thought, well, maybe now finally I'll get that curse I wanted. No, that wasn't going to happen. Verse 18, And he took up his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God will do what he says he will do. And when he says something, he will do it. There's no going back. He does what he will do. He's God. He's not a man. He's not a mere mortal. He doesn't lie. And you can't buy a curse from God with a few sacrifices. That's just not going to work. Rams and goats and bullocks, that sort of thing. You're not going to buy a curse from God using such things. In fact, you can't buy a curse from God at all. Verse 20, Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You can't curse what God has blessed. You just can't. It is impossible. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Now, as you might recall, a few weeks ago I mentioned that if you go back to the old, I believe it's the 1828 edition, of the dictionary, it'll tell you that a unicorn is a rhinoceros. So people sometimes will open the Bible and they'll read and like, oh, that King James, that's so silly, it has unicorn in there. Mythical animals, you know, no, it's a rhinoceros. And it makes complete sense. Sometimes you just have to go back to the old dictionaries to figure out what these words mean. But verse 23 tells us, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. So again, rather than the curse that Balak wanted, it was another blessing. Because you cannot curse what God has blessed. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. So now he's singing a different tune and saying, oh, all right, fine. Don't curse them if you can't, but don't bless them either. But it was already too late. It was too late. And you know, when God blesses you, that can't be reversed either by man. You can't go and have someone pray and ask God to take the blessing away from you. The only way you can lose the blessing that God has for you is by your own actions. By committing sins, by not obeying the Lord. But there's nothing that anyone can do to take it away from you. So in verse 25, Balak, he's saying, well, okay, can't curse them. Well, don't bless them either. It was too late. Verse 26, but Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure, it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. So Balak is saying, all right, let's do this one more time. But the result was not going to be any different. Chapter 24, verse 1 tells us, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Balaam knew by this point that there was no way God was going to let him curse Israel. He knew that all he could do was bless Israel. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of the buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. You know what that's telling us right there? Balak was cursed. Because he tried to have the children of Israel cursed, and you cannot curse what God has blessed. And if you try to curse what God has blessed, you will be cursed. So don't worry. when those witches get out there, those pagans, and they dance around under their evergreen trees and perform their rituals and so forth, don't worry about it. Because if they try to curse you, it's just going to come back on them. They will be cursed for it. Verse 10, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes there are certain honors, so-called honors, that we need to be kept back from. And God was doing Balaam a favor, for sure. But Balak, he's telling him, you know, he tells him, you need to flee. You need to get out of here, because Balak was angry. And, you know, if Balaam was there much longer, Balak might have killed him. Verse 12, and Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond his the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are opened hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. You know what that star out of Jacob is?
Yeah.
That's the Lord Jesus. And shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted, unto Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up, and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. So we see here, Balak, he wanted Balaam to curse Israel, but he couldn't do it, could he? He couldn't do it because God had blessed those people, and you cannot curse what God has blessed. Sadly for the children of Israel, they did get into mischief, and quite soon after that, before long, the Israelites, in fact, you can read a little about it in the 25th chapter, we're not going to go there today because we don't have time, but it tells us that they committed whoredoms with the daughters of Moab, and there were dire consequences for that. And you know who put the Moabites up to doing that, to seducing Israel with prostitutes? It was Balaam. He told Balak to do that. He told him, I cannot curse what God has blessed, but you can get them to remove the blessing themselves. And sadly, they did that very thing. And, you know, you could read about that in Numbers chapter 31, how Balaam, because of what he had done, he had to be killed because he caused the children of Israel to be seduced by the prostitutes from Moab. And you know, when people commit such things, if they had been blessed, they lose that blessing. But we know that God is merciful, and He can restore blessings and take away curses. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11 for just three verses. I'm going to read three verses in Deuteronomy chapter 11. And that's not too far away from the book of Numbers. So it should be fairly easy to find. But in Deuteronomy chapter 11, I'm going to go down to verse 26. And this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. He says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known." And sadly, the Israelites did go after other gods. And they were cursed for that. And for a while they kind of went back and forth. They would get into trouble, they would serve other gods, and God would punish them, and they would repent, and they would serve God for a while, but then they'd go back to those false gods again. And that was a cycle that was repeated over and over again until the time when Jesus came. And you know why Jesus came? To take away the curse.
Amen.
He gave us a way to be free from that curse. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22 in closing. Revelation chapter 22. You know, one fine day we're not going to have to worry about the evil in this world, the temptations in this world, the seducing spirits in this world that try to pull you away from the Lord. There will come a day when there is no more curse. Because all who had been cursed, well, they'll be gone, they'll be destroyed, and so too will the curse. The curse will be completely destroyed. Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter in the Bible. It tells us in verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." No more curse.
Thank you, Lord.
"And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads."
Yeah.
You know, the book of Revelation, it tells us about a mark of the beast that'll be in the right hand and in the foreheads of those who do not serve the Lord. And that's a very serious thing, because people who take that mark, they cannot be saved. But the scriptures also tell us in this chapter that we will have the mark of God upon our foreheads. Not the mark of the beast, but the name of God shall be upon our foreheads. "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." When we get to heaven, we won't need a sun. We won't need a moon. We won't need a candle. Because the light comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Doesn't tell us which prophet that was, but it was one of the prophets. And he's telling John, don't bow down and worship me. Worship God. Give your heart to God.
Amen.
Verse 10, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Remember back in Deuteronomy, it said there was a blessing or a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, or a curse if you do not obey the Lord, if you serve other gods. And there's a time coming when it will be too late to repent. He that is unjust will still be unjust. He that is filthy will still be filthy. He that is righteous will still be righteous. He that is blessed will still be blessed, and he that is cursed will be cursed forevermore. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So that makes it pretty obvious who Jesus is. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments. You see, that's how you get that blessing, by keeping His commandments, obeying His commandments. Just as it said in Deuteronomy, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And you know, there are a lot of people out there who love to make lies. But those who are blessed, those who dwell in that beautiful city where the Lamb is the light,
amen.
There's no curse there.
No curse,
only a blessing. For only those who obey the commandments of the Lord will be there. And it tells us right here, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, those people are not going to be in heaven. I, Jesus. So we see here that Jesus here is speaking. And it is Jesus. He confirms with His own words that He is the one who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, He's saying, I am God, very God. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And that should be the cry of our hearts. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Praise the Lord. In that city where the Lamb is the light, there is no curse there. And those who are righteous will be forever righteous. Blessed of God. He hath blessed. And we know that those who God has blessed cannot be cursed. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for Thy scriptures. We thank Thee for Thy promises. We thank Thee for Thy blessing. For we know that those whom Thou blessest cannot be cursed. And we thank Thee for that knowledge. We thank Thee for Thy protecting power. We thank Thee for Thy strength that Thou hast given us. And I pray that we would walk with Thee each and every day, never forget Thee, but always be mindful of Thee and the things that Thou hast done, so that we may reach that holy city where Thou dwellest. That city where You give us light, Lord. For we long to be there, and the cry of our hearts is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee, O God, for setting us free from that curse. I pray that Thou be with us, each and every one of us, as we go forth from here. Be with us in the coming days and weeks, we pray, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a chorus in closing. Just need to find the number. And I believe the number is 108 in the chorus book. He set me free. He did set us free. He set us free from the curse. Praise the Lord. He set me free. Oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. Praise the Lord. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.